Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
Let's talk rally driving. Delighted to welcome this morning to the studio Tony Simpson. Morning to you, Tony.
Morning, Steve.
Let's talk a little bit about where you're up to in the British Rally Championship in the B4C. BRC4 class.
There you go.
That's right, isn't it?
There you go. It rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
BRC4. It's not exactly
no.
Straight away, is it? Okay, how long have you been going in the season so far then?
We've been going really well. We've been blessed with a couple of results that have gone our way. Mm. And we were fortunate enough, we were having to go to the Isle of Man, which is the final round of the MSA British Rally Championship this coming weekend, and we thought we were going to have to go there and at least get a result of some sort, but the way things have panned out and some of our rivals have been unable to enter basically has gave us the championship a little bit early, but it doesn't feel like we've won it. It's a weird feeling.
I still feel title like winners.
Yeah, so technically I'm a British rally champion now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
How many? Have you had that before or not?
No, I've won a national title. I've won what we call one-make championships, where it's all the same car against one another. I've won those, and I've won my class at world championship level on one-off events. But no, I've never been a British champion. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I'm probably Liverpool's only first ever British rally champion.
First ever British rally champion from
I'd like
Liverpool.
To think so.
Who are the other major stars that Liverpool has spawned in rally driving?
We're not blessed, but there's a lot of good club lads, I have to say, because
right.
the club scene at Liverpool level is quite strong. There's a lot of guys out there, a couple of guys. A guy called Dave Burns, who's got Burnley Motors out on London Road, and you always see his car on display, and he's been around for years, very, very quick guy, but certainly at kind of British level and international level, we haven't had that many people come through the city, unfortunately.
Would you have preferred to have actually been racing to win the title?
Yeah.
As opposed to win it by...
Default, really, yeah.
Default sounds an awful word, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, I'm a realist, to be honest with you, because in the days of drivers who kind of spoke from the heart, people like McRae and stuff like that. People always think about Colin McRae, who always spoke from the heart and stuff like that. We've kind of gone into this media kind of friendly thing where you've got to say the right things and stuff like that. And in my book, you still want to go and fight. You still want to go and fight for that satisfaction of winning a championship. And it's something we've aspired to do for such a long time, so which is why it feels very odd to say that we've actually won it before we go and do the rally. And, you know, technically we don't even have to go and do the rally. It's the most expensive rally on the calendar, to be honest with you, to go and do. But we're committed. And the Isle of Man is something that's very special. It's a very special place to go and compete in motorsport. And, we did the recce last weekend. We flew back late last night. So we've done our pace notes for the weekend. And it's fast. Very fast.
Right, how many rallies have you done this season?
We've done 6 this year.
And when did they start?
We started in March.
Okay, so and the first one was where?
Mid Wales.
Take us through the different rallies you've done there.
Okay, we did Mid Wales, which was a forest event. So that was on gravel, and it used some of the stages that the World Rally Championship uses at the end of the year from last year, which we were very fortunate enough to be very quick on. So we had our pace notes from there, and we got a very good result there, despite being dark and snow and ice and everything.
You're driving
else.
In pitch black, are you?
Yeah. So we did night stages. We'll be doing night stages this coming weekend as well. We start on Thursday evening. So,
how hard is it to avoid that bit in the corner of your mind which is saying one wrong turn here and it's catastrophe?
It's you're in a chimp, isn't it? If you believe in that stuff, you've got to keep him under control. Basically, you've got to stop that voice, that you know, your mind voice or whatever you want to call it, or the inner chimp saying, you know, because naturally you go into that self-preservation. If you allow that voice to. You know, if that voice gets too loud, your self-preservation kicks in and you don't tend to be able to push. And that's what you've got to control.
Well, what speeds are you going up to in sort of pitch black through
flat
a forest?
Out.
Which is what?
Flat out. In our car, flat out. The way it's geared, the way the gearbox is and stuff like that. If it's, you know, if it's flat and not downhill, probably 100 mile an hour.
100 miles an hour. What sort of car is it?
Ours is a Fiesta ST. So it's...
0-60 in...
It's not mega quick, 0-60, probably about 7 seconds. It's a showroom class car. So effectively, it's what you would recognise as a road car, but with all the safety equipment. It's got very, very nice suspension. The suspension's a very clever part of it. And the gearbox is worth half the car. So the gearbox is worth quite a lot of money as well. So that's kind of what makes the differences to the car. They're a fantastic little car. And We've had 5 good years and won quite a few things with ours, so I think ours is due for retirement very soon.
Is there a level of car you can have within this class then?
Yeah, ours is the oldest car that you could possibly use in this class. The more modern version would be the one that you would see on the streets now. Ours is an 08 car. So the more modern one, which is the more rounded one, that would be the 1600 model with the 5-speed sequential gearbox, which everybody kind of equates to race cars now. It's the lever, you push it, you know, forward to go down the gearbox and pull it back to go up the gearbox, whereas ours still looks very conventional, H-pattern gearbox and things like that, you know, which is what you'd see in a road car.
Well, you're a traditionalist, aren't you?
Yeah.
If I could afford it, we'd have state of the art, believe you me.
Right, so you went on from Wales to where? What was the
We went on from Wales. We went to the Pirelli Rally, which is up on the borders, so Kiel de Forest, so Adrian's Wall and things like that, which is, again, a very, very quick rally. Lots of ditches, both sides of the road, can quite easily pull you off, and unfortunately that's what happens to us. Last stage, 3 miles.
Oh, so you have crashed during this series?
We had a little incident. As
what
I
happened?
Call it.
Go on. Was it your fault or was it the navigator?
It wasn't the navigator's fault. It wasn't Ian's fault. I've got to defend him. No, we unfortunately the organisers, and they were up against it. They were having massive problems. Average speeds, and the average speeds up there were really, really quick. And on the end of the first day, the MSA and the delegates up there said, "Look, you're going to have to put some chicanes in to bring down the average speed for the insurance." And they put these chicanes in, and we were kind of roughly told where they were. And I came into this chicane probably about 2 gears too hot, and I tried to get the car around, and I just dropped the wheel on it into a ditch on the outside, and it's just like a mulch. It just kind of just sucks you into quicksand, and it's one of those ones where Basil Fawlty, where I'm out the car, and we had the in-car camera running, and I'm sure there's an outtake of me somewhere throwing logs and twigs and yeah, proper Basil Fawlty moment.
So what, you know, when your car crashes, do you expect a tow truck to suddenly appear and pull you out, or do you actually have to get out there and push it?
No, we get out, and you know, fortunately, you know, sometimes there's spectators and stuff like that, and they'll get involved. Unfortunately these days, what's starting to happen is, because of safety and things like that, people are kind of being restricted, because that used to be the big thing, you know, rally fans, you know, we were listening, we'll go back to the days of going to watch the RAC rally, and if a car went off just from like Zulu 1000, all would just appear, and you know, the car would be out. And we're not blessed with that these days, but sometimes you can entice people to come and give you a hand, and but in this instance, no, we just couldn't get it out the ditch. We couldn't
move it. Right, no. It's 18 Radio City Talk. We're talking with Tony Simpson, rally driver who's won the British Rally Championship this year by default, he says, but that doesn't sound very nice. He's a champion anyway. So that was the round at the Hadrian's Wall. Then you went on to
the Scottish, yeah, which is up in Dumfries, so up in Scotland.
Have we got to the toughest one yet or not?
I think they've all got their own characteristics. I believe the Manx, where we're going, is the toughest rally, right. And a lot of drivers from all over the world have been here for the last 25 years and tried to conquer the Manx, and many have left saying, "I can't do anymore." It's such a notorious place to go. And so, no, I believe that what we're doing this weekend is the toughest one. But the Scottish is a very rough rally. And again, you've got to be very, very brave and just keep it on. And there's a lot of blind crests and stuff like that. And we won up there.
By this stage, you're thinking we could be rally champions?
No, because the way it works, the way the points system works, people can kind of come in and out of the championship. So there was still enough point scoring opportunities for other drivers to come in who'd registered for the championship to beat us. We knew we were not going to beat them on outright pace, because the newer machinery is the car to have. And we just had to keep grinding results out and just keep being there and just keep being there and keep being there. And just make sure that we score points after the mess that I made of the Pirelli rally, where we'd stuck it in a ditch. Every rally we did, then we had to score points. We didn't have any room for manoeuvre to drop any more points.
Became more important. The next two were?
After that was Ulster, which unfortunately we were due to start but didn't end up starting. So that was another non-point scoring round, which potentially we should have been at, which we didn't end up going to through sponsorship and things like that and various other problems that we had. And then the next one was back into Wales again, which was a 2-day rally. Very unique. First time it's been done in this country, where it was a day on gravel. And then a day on tarmac. And the gravel, I always felt confident that we'd go very, very well, because I'm more suited to travel on gravel. And we did. We went into the second day on tarmac with enough of a buffer to just cruise round on the Sunday. And that's literally what we did. We cruised round on the Sunday, picked up maximum points. Our nearest rival, unfortunately, crashed out on the Sunday, which took the pressure off me again. And that took us to this coming weekend, where we were more than comfortable as I say, and unfortunately, a couple of people haven't entered, which means it's handed us the championship.
Do you get the trophy afterwards?
Yeah,
on the Saturday night. Big trophy?
I don't know what the size of the trophy is, to be honest. And you know what? I've never kept a single trophy.
You'll keep this one.
No. My mum's got them all.
Oh, honestly. Very nice. You know when you do a rally, is it more the mental fatigue or is actually your body? How long does a rally last?
This one's 3.5 days.
Right. But you're driving for a certain length of time. How long?
Yeah, we can be doing stages from 3 miles to 20 miles.
Right,
and
okay.
You've got to, you know, you've got.
Is
to
it the mental in. Fatigue? Is
that I think so. Yeah, I train most days. I've been fortunate enough. I train with boxers at Rydell Gym up the road, and I've been very blessed. The guys there, and I've also had a guy called Anthony Morris, who's a PT, who's been doing a little bit of work with me as well. And so physically, I'm as probably fit as what I was when I was kind of 20. But yeah, the mental thing, which we all know about, the older we get. That self-preservation I keep coming back to, you know, you think about the things you used to do when you were kind of 18, 19. And that's the guys I'm competing with. You know, they're the guys who've got no self-preservation kicking in yet. So, you know, you've got to be disciplined and go, okay, sometimes you've got to let them run. You've just got to let them run and do your own thing. And that's it. You know, a lot of the time you've just got to imagine that you are competing against yourself.
So what's next season? Do you move to a different class? Does it become a different challenge?
I don't know.
You're not hanging up your steering wheel.
Do you know what? We've got a couple of deals that have been put to us, and I really don't know where we're going to go. It's very, very difficult, that next jump up, to go to a newer car and find more sponsors and stuff like that. And I've had a hell of a run. So, you know, the last 5 years, you know, national wins, British win, winning at world championship level and things like that. And that's more than I ever, ever thought we'd achieve when we came into the sport 20 years ago.
Tony, absolutely brilliant. Any of your sponsors you want to give a shout to?
Yeah, as I say, the guys at Flying Dog Brewery, and they've been fantastic. And Home to Office Water Coolers, who I'm just on my way to see them now in Knowsley to pick up my water, who they always give us packs of water.
Just goes
stuff.
In the back of the car, does it?
It goes in the service van. So there's little areas where I hide bottles of water in the rally car because I'm terrible for water. I do take on water just constantly. I don't know what it is, whether it's a nerve thing or whatever, but I'm always drinking a bottle of water when I'm in the rally car. So without those guys, I wouldn't be hydrated. So bless them. Thank you, Steve, and the boys down there. So everybody that supported us this year, and I guess it's going to be a watch this space to see what we do next.
Good luck with it. What's the first thing that breaks in a rally car, by the way?
I can't believe you just asked me that, Steve.
Oh, what is it?
It depends whether it's a tarmac rally or whether it's a gravel rally.
Oh, right. It's just a longer answer than...
That's one I don't really want to think about, to be honest with you.
It's not the driver, is it?
No, I hope not.
Tony, congratulations. Absolutely brilliant. Super stuff. And who's your navigator? Is it a concept?
A guy called Ian Bevan, who's been with me for 3 years.
Well done, Ian, as well.
Yeah.
Is he local?
North Wales he's from.
Right.
So
local enough.
Yeah. So North Wales. Wales produce a lot of good co-drivers.
What a duo. What a duo. We'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks,
see
you again soon. 8:23, Radio City Talk. And of course, that is Tony, who's just won the British Rally Championship in the BRC4 class. Is there an easy way of saying that?
No, it's British Rally Championship Class 4. That's okay. All it is, BRC4.
Oh, there we go. Super stuff. Tony Simpson there. You want to see his website, tonysimpson.co.uk.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
This is Radio City Talk.